Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Workforce Agility Podcast. I'm your host, Cesar Romero. And today I'm excited to bring on our guest, Deborah Senton-Skender, who is the director of DCS Consulting and Staffing Firm. And we're going to be talking about her journey throughout the staffing and recruiting industry. You know, what's that journey been like? Any challenges that she's overcome? And talk about some of the trends that are disrupting the industry and her recommendations on how to tackle those. And of course, much, much more. So if you're in the audience and you are a staffing firm owner or are part of the staffing and recruiting industry, this episode is especially for you. So Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So to kick us off, just share with us a bit more about DCS Consulting, what you're currently doing now, you know, what's your vision in your areas of responsibilities.
So DCS Consulting is actually my firm that I started 9 years ago. What we do is we staff the staffing industry. We started as a perm shop. And when I started, I thought, well, you know, I want to do something that I can be an expert at. I wanted to be a subject matter expert. And, you know, I had 20 years in staffing. So, and I know everybody in staffing, too. That's one thing about staffing. You know, if you really get involved in it, you start to meet all these wonderful people all over the United States and even out of the country. And so I became the subject matter expert. And today we have very large clients that are multi-billion dollar organizations that count on us to help them find top talent. Even the staffing companies need help. Mm-hmm. You know, my largest client grew 42% this year. Like, they're just booming.
Wow.
And their own talent acquisition teams can't really keep up with demand necessarily with the growth that they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. So this year we've experienced huge growth in just the positions that are available. And it's not just recruiters and salespeople. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are VPs, they're branch directors, they're regional managers. They're most of them have a sales component to them though. So what the staffing companies are looking for is sales and recruiters. Like, they're just, that's what they're in need of. And that's what we do. And what I do is just about everything, but we're a small firm. But in our ninth year, we've decided that we are going to scale. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right now there's four of us. And I think with technology in companies such as your company, which is my base pay, we can use the back office to do temp and mm-hmm. temp to hire and contract. And in our niche of especially talent acquisition, every company is hiring right now in talent acquisition. Mm-hmm. I looked up last week in Denver, there was 3,000 ads for recruiters.
3,000.
One week.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So the need is definitely there. Mm-hmm. So that's what our need is. And, you know, I run a desk. I work my desk. We do all direct hire. We do not run ads. Mm-hmm. That's what makes us different. Mm-hmm. We've never run ads. We absolutely use platforms such as LinkedIn mm-hmm. and social media to contact people. We have some tools that enable us to call people. It's all direct hire. It's all direct search. Mm-hmm. I should say good old fashioned headhunting.
Yeah, no.
Like in that respect, even with all the new trends, I feel like there's always going to be a need for companies like mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious to know, because, you know, the pandemic and everything going on with disruption, you've still being able to scale and grow and help your clients do the same. And I'm just wondering, is there anything in particular, either on the strategic level or tactical level, that you've implemented that has helped you and or your clients continue growing despite everything going on? So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and you know, anything that you can share with our audience.
Well, obviously, you have to invest in technology, and we did that right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, have a great applicant tracking system that works well with the platforms we use to recruit. And, you know, you don't want your employees going from one platform. You don't want them going from Outlook to LinkedIn to your applicant tracking system. You have to find technology that's going to work together. So that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the scaling and to scale, you really need to outsource the marketing effort. It has to be a digital marketing effort.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be out there. You have to be doing email campaigns. You have to be doing online campaigns. You have to be having articles. You know, you have to give them value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not just recruiting and trying to get business. We're keeping you up to date on the trends in interviewing and what candidates are thinking and, you know, all the different trends that are going on in staffing. You know, we've had to educate our clients on a lot of things over the last 6 months, especially
mm-hmm.
because their hiring process was too long
mm-hmm.
and they were losing good people. And now my clients are in a hurry. They're like, okay, I can get through this pretty quickly now. You know, they still have the same steps, but they do it in a 2-week time period instead of a 6-week time period.
Mm-hmm.
The hiring process had to be shortened. So I think technology is the key though to mm-hmm. scaling for sure. And you need to outsource. You need mm-hmm. to outsource a lot of what you're doing so you can concentrate on what you do best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So leveraging technology to improve the overall worker experience, right? That's key. Sure. And content marketing, digital marketing. And I love what you said about educating, because yeah, I agree with you. If you come from that angle, from that perspective of, I'm not trying to sell you, I'm just trying to educate you on best practices, on things to watch out for, then the end client, right, feels more like, okay, this is actually helping me out, you know, through this content. And it's not trying to sell me on whatever service you provide. And that's key, right? And that gets overlooked many, many times in any industry. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's super important. Educating the end user, the customer. So let's take a step back here, Deb, and walk me through those early years, right? Or why did you decide that, hey, I'm gonna build a career in the staffing and recruiting industry? You know, what was the thought process behind that? How was those early years?
Well, I was on a very different path in healthcare. And mm-hmm. I found myself wanting a job that was regular business hours, you know, because in healthcare, you're working every kind of shift.
Right. Yeah. It's grueling.
So I just asked a friend of mine, I go, gosh, you know, I'd really like to find something different.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh my gosh, she goes, I used this temp agency, which, you know, we're kind of new then. I know it doesn't seem like that because
mm-hmm.
I know most of the big ones have been around 60 years, but still they weren't known the way they are now. Like it was a little bit still fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I go to this temp agency and I go in and do all the paperwork and apply. And the next thing you know, I'm in the owner's office. Because like every good staffing company, they're like, wow, she might be good to work for us. The recruiter right. went into the owner. Right. So the next thing you know, I'm talking to Pat, who was the owner of the business. And she's like, you know, Deborah, I have a different idea for you. And I go, well, what would that be? She goes, what would you think about working for us? And I said, well, what would I do? And she said, well, I pretty much pay you to talk to people all day. And I said, wow, that sounds like something I could really do.
Right.
And honestly, she put me on a perm desk between two recruiters. I got a phone book, and a card desk.
Wow.
They did have computers that they had, but the salespeople and the perm recruiters, we just had a card file box that we had to keep all of our leads in and keep them in a certain order so we knew when to call them again.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. So that's how it started. And then I loved the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in it. Like, I worked for a lot of the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went into sales management. I was always a producing manager. Even when I had six branches, I was still producing. I was still selling. I was still working with all the managers that reported to me. And it was a great business. What I was missing at that point is, you know, at that point, I had a family. I had a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was traveling 70% of the time. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have flexibility then. You just did not. There was no flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
You had FaceTime. And it was in the office 8 to 10 hours a day, period, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
And that just wasn't working for me. Mm-hmm. When I had my caboose, my baby, the youngest, I thought, oh my God, I can't even do this anymore.
Right.
So one night I get home at like 7:15. She's the last kid at daycare. My husband got back from being out of town and I said, gosh, I said, I've been successful in this business. I love it, but I think I can do this on my own. I'm over it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just over the FaceTime. I'm over, you know, I need more flexibility. And they just didn't have it 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. So anyway, that's when I started my first business. And that's how I got, you know, that's how I worked in staffing. And I did all the temp work. I did light industrial. I did technology. I did accounting and finance. Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't any, I worked in all of them. So it was just part of my blood. And I stayed very connected in staffing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the president of Colorado Staffing Association for a couple of years. You know, I was sat on the board of the American Staffing Association. You know, those are things that really helped me in my journey. Because the people that I know, I mean, we would just pick up the phone and call each other. They could be in Atlanta. They could be in Los Angeles. You know, whenever I got stuck along the way, you know, I would call people that I met in the business.
I love it. And it all came because you wanted a change and you were looking for something new. And then things opened up. And it's so interesting, right? When I always refer to that famous quote, I think it's Paulo Coelho that mentioned it, like, when you want something, the universe conspires to, you know, bring you those opportunities. And I get the sense that that's kind of what happened with you, that you just wanted a change. And then staffing and recruiting, it's like, ding, ding, ding.
And you know what? Another really awesome component to staffing is that it's such a great career for women.
Mm.
I really believe, I mean, I just flourished in the sales and the management. And I probably wouldn't have been able to do that in another industry the way I did it in staffing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is it?
Pardon?
What do you think it is about the industry that helped you or empowered you, you know, to be placed in positions of leadership, right? At the American Staffing Association, having your own firm, being a minority-owned business, you know, what are some of those opportunities that you could not find in other industries? And also, what's your take on all of this, right? Like, what advice would you have to other women that are looking also to be more of a leader and follow their own path, but not being afraid of following the path, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, women in our industry can be part of a group through American Staffing Association that literally can mentor you into leadership and help you get to the next step in your career. I mean, they take it very seriously, and they find, you know, I mean, I don't think staffing's for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say that. I think if you have that ability to juggle a lot at the same time, and you have that human factor, you have to have that. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to build rapport. You have to be able to, you know, instantly build trust with people. And I think women, you know, I'm not saying men are not good at that, but I think women are more nurturing. I mean, that's kind of our DNA. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that it's a really good industry for women, because it's not like you go to college to go into staffing. That's, you know, you might have a business degree and you're going to bump into a staffing company. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing a lot of second generation now where, you know, I'll ask people how they got into staffing. They'll go, oh, my mom or dad was in staffing. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. We're seeing that now. But, you know, when, like I said, staffing is not something that you're like, oh, I think I'll go to college and then go into staffing. That's not usually what happens.
Yeah.
It is something that you get into, but you find it's an incredible, incredible profession. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of areas to grow. Women in leadership, definitely in staffing.
Yeah, especially for women that, you know, I have a daughter, so definitely something that I'm passionate about. How can women occupy more positions of leadership, right? And add more diversity to the C-suite. And a follow-up to that is, any throughout your journey, right? What have been some of the, I guess, biggest challenges or your favorite failure that taught you a big lesson? If you can share that with us, yeah.
I mean, there's staffing is so up and down because, listen, the economy definitely has a bearing on your business. Mm-hmm. You know, when the financial boom happened, the bust in 2008, I mean, Charles Schwab was one of my clients. I mean, mm-hmm. I lost like 300 people overnight.
Wow.
Like millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have to diversify your book of business. Mm-hmm. You have to diversify, you know, and we're doing that now. I believe you need to specialize, but you do need to have another area that's, you know, let's say recession proof. Because if you're doing, you know, the financial world really crumbled at that time. Mm-hmm. And so if that's what you were counting on 100%, you were going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. So, you know, luckily we were diverse enough that we had other types of clients, but that was tough. I mean, because, you know, when you have these monster accounts and, you know, they're your biggest book of business, mm-hmm. you're going to get in trouble that way. And that really hurt, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember having to lay people off and I didn't want to do that. And although I've done some really creative things over the years too, to save my people, you know, it just.
Like what?
I know this is hard to believe, but I was told I had to lay off two people in mm-hmm. my team. We were mm-hmm. we were just doing great. And I knew we were bringing in some really big business, but it hadn't, mm-hmm. didn't have a contract signed yet and so on. But I was told you have to let two people go. Mm-hmm. But we were such a team. And I went to the vice president and I said, look, I talked to my team. And they know two people have to be laid off and everybody's very upset. I said, what, four of them are willing to take a 20% pay cut for a short period of time because we know we're bringing in this business.
Yes.
I mean, it actually worked.
I mean,
they actually, they had to take a pay cut for 6 weeks. And honestly, I don't know who would do that, but they were so committed to the team and they knew the business was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started with that organization with 1,800 hours a week. And within 2 years, we grew it to 20,000 hours a week.
I love it, Deb. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because typically it's like black and white, right? We lay you off or you're part of the team. But if offered the chance, I believe most people would take a pay cut versus losing their entire paycheck, right? And putting their family in a tough spot.
Right.
So that's amazing that you presented that as an option, right? Because I will take a pay cut, like, because I would understand, yeah, these are tough times, but I'm doing my best. I'm a top producer. Sure, you know, we'll do this together, you know, whatever, right? So
happy. It was a very happy ending, because mm-hmm. we won two large pieces of business during that time period, and we were just like, you know, we were the best.
Yeah.
Top of the heap, you know?
So one of the common challenges when you are looking to diversify your portfolio, right, is how do you, especially if you're just starting out, the funding aspect of it, right? How do you take on bigger contracts and fund payroll, right? So I wanted to get any tips that you have on there on how to get over that hurdle, because I've heard very frequently that for firms just starting out, that's one of the biggest limitations to diversify the portfolio, right? Like, I would love to take on a bigger client, but I'm tied with funds, right? So any recommendations that you could provide there, would appreciate it.
You have to outsource.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many funding companies, you know, there's so many companies and, you know, they're all eager to get your business due.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just need to, you know, make sure that you have a really good credit rating and you've got a solid book of business. And you can get funding. There's no reason for anyone to have to let that stop them.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of a perm organization, you know, starting with perm,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, I still run a totally debt-free company.
Wow, that's amazing.
After 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard to do.
I bet.
but when you're looking at, oh my gosh, I need to bring this client on, you have to get funding. I mean, there's just no other way around it. Unless you have a huge cash outlay stashed somewhere that you can, because it's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing is, you start with a funding company, but then eventually you fund your own. So that's what you do.
Perfect. Yeah, no, that's great advice. Because yeah, it's one of the most common hurdles I keep hearing from young firms, right, looking to grow and scale there. But yeah, outsourcing, that has to be part of the strategy, right? Because otherwise it becomes like a bottleneck.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now going back to what you mentioned at the beginning, that 3,000 positions open for recruiters in a given week, that is unheard of, right? And I think that's comes with the times that we're living in. And I wanted to get your perspective on that, you know, what's like being in this space right now when there is, I believe there's more openings for recruiters now than for even software developers, right? Like how are you navigating that, I guess, trend disruption that's happening?
It's a huge trend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a new trend. It's just so huge right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for at least the last 10 to 15 years, companies have been trying to take all their tech talent acquisition into their company.
Mm-hmm.
But with this huge surge of what's going on, you know, they need the help of staffing organizations, number one. But number two, there's a whole different way that they're doing talent acquisition within their organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just a matter of hiring a couple of entry-level recruiters to come in-house and hire people, because that's just not what they're able to do. I think a big trend is this, you know, this curation, this, you know, talent curation and these talent curation teams and, you know, the employee experience from the start with your organization of recruiting the person, onboarding, and then having them in-house. That is a huge trend I see. You know, not only are they going to these different, not only are organizations and companies going to different platforms that allow them to go in and pick some of their own employees, right? But they're also outsourcing the whole talent acquisition, you know, team in general. I mean, they've had the MSPs for years, master service providers, but this is a little bit different. These are subject matter experts. These are people that are pros. They're coming in and they are, you know, making sure that they're not just looking to recruit people, but, you know, they're, it's the whole experience. It's, you know, bringing them in, pipelining, making sure there's a lot of people ready. You know, if you're not pipelining your candidates along the way, you're really losing as a staffing company, because you have to have people in a niche, or let's say it's a specific client that you know. You know, you should be putting people in a pipeline for them all the time. So that's part of this curation, this pipelining. It's something we've been doing all along, but they just call it something different now. And it is a little more specialized. You know, it's you know, it's just part of our world now. And it's part of diversity and inclusion and making sure you're bringing all the right people in. And it's just highly specialized. You know, it's not HR anymore. It is talent acquisition.
Yeah.
You have to be experts. So like I said, I don't see recruiters going away or staffing firms necessarily going away, because there's always going to be the need for those expertise. And that's why I'm in business. I help the staffing companies when their talent acquisition teams can't find their people.
Right.
And that's why I'm around, you know.
You recruit the recruiters. That's amazing. And what are... Because I know we mentioned this at the beginning. What are some of those gaps that you have noticed from the candidate experience that is hurting clients, right? Hire great talent, right? What are some of those gaps that need to be improved or closed when it comes to the overall candidate experience, in your opinion?
I think a lot of it is just the time. You know, they'll get into the process and all of a sudden they don't hear from anyone from the company for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, and you know, that's what I've educated my clients on. I think that's part of the experience right there is, you know, they need to have a person that is responsible for that candidate from start to finish. It's like when somebody starts a new job and you say, okay, Joe's going to be your person.
Right.
Whatever questions you have, he's available. The next 2 weeks, he's going to go to lunch with you. He's going to answer questions, whatever. You have to do that in that experience with bringing employees from recruiting them and interviewing them all the way through the process. Because they're probably going to interview with 4 or 5 people. And they don't even know who to follow up with most of the time.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole doing the putting your resume online and going through a lengthy, I mean, 45-minute application process before you even get an interview.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's grueling.
They need to find the talent. They need to know this person's qualified, and then they need to get them through the process then. That's why, you know, the recruiters and recruiting firms have it the right way, because they're sending the right people to the to the clients.
Right.
Companies are still too reliant on all of this online application process. And that's why they've had to upgrade their talent acquisition teams. That's why this new trend in bringing on these curators, that's why that's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been on that end throughout my career of the hiring process. And I've had interviews that lasted, the whole process lasted, I think it was like 4-6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I did like multiple rounds of interviews, and then only to find out that they picked someone else. You know how heartbreaking that is for as a candidate? It's just like, oh my God, why do you put me through all these hoops?
Yeah, and guess what? 99% of my candidates are working. It is hard to do all that. Yeah. I've got to fly to corporate headquarters. Like, you know, it's like they take a day off work. They have to sneak out and do all these video interviews. Right. It's crazy.
You feel like you're cheating, right? Like you're like in secret.
I know. But you know, I try and tell people, don't worry about that, because listen, if it's, you've been with your firm long enough to know that this is not what you want anymore. Maybe you hit a ceiling. Maybe your boss has been in their job 20 years and you're never getting promoted. Many reasons why people look outside.
Yeah, it's, and I know there's a big stigma around it, right? But yeah, like ultimately as a candidate, you should be in control of your career, right? And if a better offer comes, why not entertain it, right? Or at least have a conversation about it. But yeah, I feel like there's a big stigma around, oh, if you're already employed, why are you still having conversations? Why are you still looking? It's a different market, right? Like,
very different. It, you know, we're at 4.8% unemployment right now. You know, people are employed. I mean, truthfully, in today's world after the pandemic, you know, that 4.8%, they could get a job. There's so many jobs. Some people have left the workforce for many reasons. But I mean, honestly, it is a candidate market right now. They can choose. Companies really have to wise up with that experience, the interview process in general. You know, once I start with a candidate, man, I'm on the phone with them. Every time they have a call with another hiring manager, I call them after work and I say, hey, let's take 10 minutes to talk about this.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, you just want to make sure they're ready and they feel comfortable and they're good. And I get thank yous all the time. Oh my God, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. You know,
yeah.
That's the way it should be every time they go through the process.
Yes. And it's, yeah, it's unfortunate that, well, it's good for you because that's helping you stand out from the rest, because 99% of people or firms don't do that, right? So the fact that you're getting all these thank yous, it means that it just lets them know that you care, right? Even if it's just 10 minutes. And I love it. I love it. So looking into the future, you know, in the industry, where do you see the biggest growth opportunities for staffing firms?
I mean, every staffing firm specializes, right? For instance, you know, Modus is IT. You know, Robert Half is accounting and finance. So they're going to have different opportunities in different professions and industries. So there isn't an overall, oh, this is where you need to go. I mean, information technology is going to continue to grow because it changes constantly. You know, healthcare is going to continue to grow. In every facet of these industries that are going to grow so quickly, these companies have a stake in it. Because every technology company needs accounting people. Every, you know, healthcare company needs back office people. You know, it's so they all have a stake in it. You need to read the trends. You need to stay connected. So what they're saying in the US right now is information technology, healthcare, travel. Yay, we get to travel again.
Yes.
Energy, we're going green. So, you know, you got to look ahead. That's going to be huge. Pharmaceuticals, obviously. Trucking. Oh, my God. Logistics, transportation. all of that. I mean, it's all the trends that you have to keep an eye on, and you have to look 5 and 10 years ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to get into something that's going to die out.
Right.
You know, because it happens, mm-hmm. you know, and you do want to specialize though. I do believe in specializing, but within that specialty, you can branch out in so many different areas. Mm-hmm. Like for us staffing the staffing industry, well, we're branching out in, hey, we're going to get you talent acquisition people for any company. Mm-hmm. We're going to find you a talent curator that's going to help you with your talent acquisition team. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you stay vital. That's how you stay vibrant. You know, that's how, you know, you have to be part of what is trending at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but
yeah.
It's so easy to find the trends in staffing. You know, we're a very transparent industry. And if you're a good recruiter, you can do any kind of research in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find out what the biggest trends are, like right now.
You know?
It's very easy. And again, outsource. You know, there's so many experts in our field, even in the marketing areas. There's marketing firms that only work with staffing companies. Mm-hmm. So there's everything at your disposal. You can be successful in this industry if you do your homework. It's not what you should do when you retire, because I see people buy staffing companies when they retire because it looks like fun.
Right.
No, it is a lot of hard work. It's probably the most rewarding work you'll ever do, mm-hmm. just because of the relationship component.
Right.
And people that you're going to know forever, mm-hmm. and they're wonderful people, you know. When I'm recruiting, you know, I talked to somebody that was an executive VP that was over like $200 million in revenue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go, well, maybe this job isn't for you, but you know what? I'm really glad we got to talk today, because, you know, that's what's fun about my work. Yeah. I get to talk to really talented people every day, and you're going to probably be my client mm-hmm. at some point, because you're going to need my help mm-hmm. finding you for your team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a people business, right? It's a relationship business and industry, and staying on top of trends, as you said, you got to do your research, do your homework.
Biggest thing.
But I mean, we can already see, right? As you mentioned, IT, logistics, AI, all these technologies too that are booming, right? That's part of the trends. And but with that though, we'll touch on this and then we'll wrap it up. But I wanted to get your thoughts on something else that I keep hearing a lot, right? And I think it's one of the biggest challenges for everyone is the talent shortage and skilled workers, right? How difficult it is for, let's say, for the candidates to keep up with their skill sets, with technology, with all the disruption happening. And there's a gap, right, between what clients, organizations need and what the candidate brings. Any thoughts or recommendations on this talent shortage challenge that it impacts not just the staffing and recruiting industry, but everything related to the workforce?
Every company that needs that sort of worker. I mean, we have a huge gap. Mm-hmm. I think. But there's trends changing too. Whereas in the past, it was like, well, you have to have a 4-year degree, period, end of story. Mm-hmm. Now they are training kids even in their junior and senior year of high school to be able to do coding.
Yeah, I mean, literally,
Google has a 6-week training program right now. Mm-hmm. Literally will train anyone that's over the age of 18. It's like 6 weeks. And, you know, you have to have the aptitude, right? Mm-hmm. But there's companies training people. I mean, this is some of the trends that are out there, but that's a company like Google. What does a regular company do that can't attract them necessarily because they don't have the name Google? I mean, it's about the candidate experience. I think it goes back to that too. There is a huge shortage. you have to pay a little more. You're going to have make less money on it. You're going to have to treat your candidates better. I mean, that is how companies are keeping the labor force that we have such a shortage of.
Yeah.
I mean, even 20 years ago, somebody would leave for 25 cents an hour, you know, to the next place. I mean, I'm telling you, the pay is a huge thing. Benefits.
Yeah.
The way that you treat your employees. You know, one of the, as we were going to wrap it up and you were probably going to ask me about like books.
Right.
this kind of comes into play with this. So The Art of Caring Leadership was written by a dear friend of mine, Heather Younger, who was an attorney. And now she's a huge writer. And it's all about this. Because it's servant leadership. You have to put the needs of your employees before yourself. It starts at the top.
I love
it.
Yeah.
Keep your employees and they will be loyal to you. And you know what? They won't leave for a dollar an hour. It's really all part of that. It's part of putting their needs first, giving people flexibility. People want flexibility. You know, we did remote before it was even in style, you know? And a lot of these jobs, though, you have to be in a warehouse or, you know, in a manufacturing facility or, you know, in an Amazon, you know, center where you're, you know, doing the logistics. And it is about the treatment of your employees, for real. That's what's going to help companies.
Yeah. Servant leadership, which is a simple concept, but in practice, in my experience, very hard to implement if the people at the leadership don't have the humility to embrace it and serve their people. But yeah, I mean, it's so critical. And that makes a difference between a good organization and a great organization.
Right. That's what all the hiring managers are getting that book for Christmas.
Great. I'm going to get it myself because
I have the best clients in the world.
That's awesome.
I do. Like, I love my clients. I mean, they're just great people.
That's awesome.
You know, if you, and I'm thinking of one in particular right now. Such a humble, hardworking person. Like, he's inspiring. Just inspiring. That's what you want to do. You want to inspire your employees. And I mean, I'm a vendor and I'm inspired, you know, because, you know, you see hardworking leaders that put their people first. That's how I started working with my largest client because he got promoted into a huge role. And when he was going into the different markets and visiting his teams, the managers were running the people out the back door. He goes, my employees are my biggest asset. I can't have managers running my people out the door.
It's true, though. Yeah, the biggest asset you have is your team. And one thing that I wanted to mention before we wrap it up is, as a candidate, in this day and age, being proactive in your own education, in your own upskilling, that is going to help you a lot because there are so many options today, like Google, right? That program that's so affordable. So you don't even need a college degree. So yeah, being proactive. And I'm so glad you touched on that because it's, no one's going to tell you, you need to learn this. You need to learn this. You gotta be proactive in your own, rescue, right?
Oh, for sure.
Awesome, Dev. I feel like we could talk about the industry for hours, but, this has been very insightful. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing more about your background, what your journey in the industry has been like, and some of the challenges and some things that we need to pay attention to as we grow our staffing firms, our businesses. And yeah, looking forward to another episode, maybe on a dive deeper into a specific topic. But for now, I just want to say thank you so much. And yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend.